Okay, Rabbi Levin, the Rishiva of Shari Tuna, was recently invited to visit a certain balabos that was already working or whatever. He's not a black hat guy, not a yeshiva kolo graduate. You know, he wasn't an academic either. We're not talking about a person who spends his time, you know, in universities, etc. He literally is a worker. The man is a manual laborer, a person who spends most of his time doing things that are, you know, that manual labor, which we're not too many people are used to. The conversation turned toward a tzara that was going on in the guy's life, a certain bit of yisurin that the man was having within the family, and it wasn't their first. And lo aleinu, he asked Rabbi Levin what he should do to merit a yeshua. What could he do to make sure that such a thing doesn't happen again, or to make sure that they could get what the family really desperately needs? What could they do for that to happen in the right way? Rabbi Levin didn't want to answer him. Simple reason why he didn't want to answer him is he first demurred by saying, look, you're a chassid, you have a rebbe, so ask your rebbe. On the wall, this man has a picture of his rebbe. So he said, you're a rebbe, I mean, you don't have to ask me. You should go to the rebbe that you look up to, and that's the way it is. But the man persisted. The person said, no, over and over again, no, I'm asking Rabbi Levin, I'm asking you, give me your answer. So Rabbi Levin said, you know what, you really don't want to hear my views. You don't want to hear what I have to say about the matter. That's not what you want to hear. So nonetheless, despite all the warnings, the man insisted, Rabbi Levin, I want to hear what you have to say. At this point, it became a little bit impolite. He's saying that he doesn't want to hear it, but Chalila, it's as if I don't feel your tsar. So Rabbi Levin said, fine, I'm going to listen. I'm going to give you my answer. He said, please don't be angry with me. So Rabbi Levin told him, please don't be angry with me. I can only answer based on my understanding of Shas and Rishonim. What I understand from the Gemara and from the Rishonim that write on the Gemara, and how my Litvisho Rosh Yeshiva, his Rosh Yeshiva, used to say things, were among the greatest Talmid Chacham of the past generation, how they would answer. And I'm only answering this way because you asked. I wouldn't do it otherwise. Said the following, we are taught, and we know this, and we say it every single morning, the Talmud Torah K'neged Kula, that no matter what it is otherwise that we do, that our number one priority in life is Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah can make it cooler when it comes to absolutely everything. The most potent mitzvah is Talmud Torah. It's not only that the importance of Torah comes over everything else. We already spoke a couple weeks ago about how doing chesed sometimes will trump an individual act of Talmud Torah. That's possible. But the concept of Talmud Torah can make it cooler means there is nothing greater or more powerful than a person learning Torah, even if we don't understand it. Even if we look at the Torah as just another chokmah that we don't quite understand why it works, nonetheless, we have to understand the Talmud Torah Gnegi Kula. If that's true, then by far, your effort, or anyone's effort, to understand a piece of Gemara, to understand something that the Torah is trying to say, not just supporting someone else's efforts, not just that, but working hard to understand something for yourself is by far the biggest mitzvah and the greatest vehicle for there to be a yeshua for anyone, individually or as a klal. There's no question about that. And that idea is, it's such a strange one to hear, to learn and understand the amount of Torah that you have, that marba Torah, marba chayim, the way Pirkei Avos says it, that to toil more in Torah to the point where you gain a life, you understand more about life, just by learning up the Torah. Now granted, that's really, really hard. I can probably count on one hand the amount of times that I've sweated over a piece of Gemara. Sweated, and I mean really sweating, where I'm not understanding it, and I'm screaming out shot, and I'm trying to figure out what my chavrusa. It's really, I haven't been in that level, even though I was in yeshiva full time, to sweat over a gemara, right, to really figure out exactly what it's trying to say, to the point where I'm schwitzing over it, and that I can't sleep without it. That's really what the gemara is asking. You want a segula? You want a way of getting a salvation? This is the way to do it. That's that. So the Lord told him, I know what you were waiting for. I know you were waiting for like a crazy skula. Like, I don't know, hop on one foot while lifting up your right hand, right? And every other Tuesday of the first of the month when the first of the month comes out on a Wednesday. It's something like that. I know that you're probably saying that I should go for a bracha to like this Mekobel who comes to the city once a year, and it happens to be that the Mekobel's in that city right at that time. Oh wow, it's an unbelievable. Those are great. They're great, but that's not what Chazal say. It's not what the Rishonim say. And that's also not what the Rosh Yeshiva do. It's not what the Rosh Yeshiva do. The Rosh Yeshiva understand that it's done through Torah. Now let's go to the next side, a side note. Anyone who knows me here, you know that I happen to love every little bit of all of those different types of things. I love going to Mekubalim just to see their face and to ask them what they think. I happen to love all the different schools that are out there and all the crazy little things. I don't do many of them, but I happen to love hearing about it. I love learning them. My favorite sefer in the world is Tami Minhagim. He's got schools everywhere in the Tami Minhagim. So it happens to be that I'm a person who loves learning the craziest stories, understanding the craziest midrash, trying to get to the nuttiest things in the world. But the truth is, nonetheless, with all of that, I agree with Rabbi Levin wholeheartedly. He's 100% right. There is nothing more potent than sitting and learning a Gemara yourself. Nothing. There's a difference, if you know, there's a difference between davening or saying Tehillim and learning. Learning is the ability to throw everything else away from you if you do it correctly. Davening is the ability to break through and possibly get through the barriers that are standing in front of you. That is the power of Tefillah. But learning is the power to literally destroy all the things that are around you. There is no barrier when you're learning Torah. That's the difference. There's a potency. There is a message, a powerful message that can be sent through learning Torah correctly. And I know that this is exactly what my Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Learfield would tell me if I would ask him what to do. Of course he would tell me, of course, the number one thing is this. No matter how much I love, so to speak, the other Derek, and I'm using the air quotes, nonetheless, there's no question. Torah's power, its potency is without question through you learning, period, nothing else. So the man realized it as well. The man, as soon as he heard it from Rabbi Levin, said, I know you're right. He said, it's not hard. It's not what I expected. And it is going to be very hard. But it's consistent with the way that I've learned and the way that I've understood. And he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to add on to my learning. Now, the wife of this man turned to Rabbi Levin and said, he already gets up at 5:30 a.m. every morning to go learn before davening. It's not like he's not learning. He's already learning. So you know what the man said? The man said, then I have to do more. Then I have to learn earlier. Or I have to learn later. I'll have to add on something. And that's what it is. If the learning that I've been doing up until now is just not enough, then I'll do more. That's a person who's understood it. He figured it out. He knows. Learning is so important that yes, it's going to be hard. You are going to live lives. And if you get a really good job, you're going to be spending hours and hours and hours on that job. An accountant, around that time of the season, you're going to be spending 14, 15 hours a day, either in the office or on your computer working. When you have kids, you're going to have to spend time with your kids. You're not going to have time. I'm telling you right now, as you grow up, you're going to be pressed for time with everything you do. And if you don't have time now, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And we've spoken about this before. But you have to realize, if it comes to you, you want something more, you want a school, so add on to what you have. Another 15 minutes is hard. Really, really hard. But you have to do it. I don't mean to say it this way, and forgive me for if this is insensitive to anyone here. If somebody in your family was dying, you wouldn't add on an extra 15 minutes to your day of learning or davening or anything to be able to be possibly a schus for that person? Of course you would. You would do anything, right? If somebody that you knew was in the hospital, you'd take the hour out of your time to go visit them in the hospital possibly every single day. You can find time. You just have to push and you have to make everything else secondary. If you make everything else secondary, then the time will be there and you'll be able to go. That reminded all of this, reminded Rabbi Levin about a story that had happened years ago. And there was a kila in Chutz Laaretz that would suffer a disproportionate amount of tragedies. don't know if anybody remembers from Chicago just a couple years ago, where there were, I think it was 5 members of the Keeley, young people, very young people, who all passed away in a period of about 3.5 months, where there were 5 people. One was in the Israeli army, another person was here, another person was hit by a car, another, it was a baby, but 5 people, one after the other, had passed away within 3.5 months. Something like that. When that happens in a kehila, in a community, even if it's from different parts of the community, if it happens in one community, then the community gets together, they do something. There's a tehillim session, they take on something, something will happen. So the Rav sent a delegation to go ask Rav Shach what the community can do. What can they take upon themselves that will allow them to be feel safe, like this is something that will help them in the next parts. So this is 30 years ago, I want you to remember. So we're dealing 2014, let's say the 80s. Okay, early 80s. Just think early 80s, something like that. So Rav Shach told them, and this is in his igros, this is mentioned in his igros, that the Kiwa has to institute a night seder, where Balabatim, after a long day of work, have to come, and they will learn either the Chabrusa or together with a kol of younger man or a rav. They have to sit and learn, and everybody has to have a night seder together. Everybody has to have a night seder together. Everyone from the Keilah should get together and they should learn. Not in their homes. It should be Torah b'tzibur. Learning Torah b'tzibur. Now, I was 4 at the time. It was 1983, 1984. I was 3 or 4 years old at the time. I don't know what it was like. I can tell you that I remember when I was a kid with the Yeshurun, with the Das Yeshurun, with my shul that I'm in now, I know as a kid there was no one there at nights. One night a week, I think Rabbi Cohen had a shir, and that was that. No one was there at night. I remember learning there when I was over the summer, when I was back for the summer, when I was back for Pesach, from coming back from Eretz Yisrael. I remember going in there at night and being the only person there when the Yeshurun was in its old building, which is now the Sephardi Kiel, the Sephardi Minyan. There was none. And it's not like there wasn't other places. We went into other places and you found that there was a night sitter here, a night sitter there. Night sitter was hard to find. This is in the 90s. This is in the 90s, let alone what it was like in the 80s. And I don't even know. I had no idea. I'm assuming it was the same. So the Rabbanim that went to Rav Shach, they said to him, Rabbi, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's no way they're going to come out of their houses. The Balabatim won't leave. They're not going to learn the Chabrusa Night Seder. If you ask them to finish something, they'll finish it. You ask them to go ahead and learn Gemara, they'll probably learn Gemara. Right? They'll probably end up doing it. But to ask them to come out for Night Seder and go somewhere and do it, people aren't going to do it. That's what they told them, and that's that. So they said, can you find another mitzvah to be machazik? They asked Rav Shach. Something else that they could do, like benching out of a sitter, you know, or making sure that they wash negelbasser with a full cup of water. Is there something else that they could do to take on for themselves something that's like that, right? But this, making a night sitter, is throwing a shein in the kaplan. It's not going to be accepted by the tzibur. So Shach turns to them and said to them, he says, they see these tragedies, they send someone to ask me what to do, and the answer comes back, to learn Torah. What, and they still don't do it? They still don't do it? What, are they donkeys? Are they donkeys? What's wrong with them? How can they not accept this? It's the most precious thing in the world to be able to sit and learn and whatever. And that is a direct quote. I have it down. It's a direct quote from him. What is stopping us? What is stopping us from doing that? You know why? Because when we learn, we're not exactly getting out of our learning what we should be taking out. And if it's not exactly applicable to our daily lives, it's difficult for us to really get anything out of it. And I hear that. I completely hear that. That means you're learning Torah incorrectly. It means you're learning incorrectly. It's not about the information. It's not about that. It's not about trying to work on your daily life as you're doing it. It's instilling within yourself Kedusha. And I know that sounds silly and so archaic. I understand. I realize that it sounds unbelievably silly to say it. You are a different person when you're learning daily. You are a completely different person. When you spend, and you can see it in people's faces, when you see a person coming off a vacation where they didn't open up a Gemara once for a week, they didn't open up a Gemara once, you can see it in their faces. They're a different person. They're a different person. Maybe they have, oh, now I'm going to work on it. Now I'm going to do something. They look different. They act different. What they're willing to give up on, what they're willing to look at, and what they're willing to do is completely different from a person who's been sitting and learning for a week straight. There's no question. And if you deny that, that's fine. You can deny it. It's possible that we can't see it. That's possible. I'm telling you from our Chazal, from every word of Chazal, it's 100% true. People that are sitting and learning straight have something different about them. Even if they don't understand it as well as they should, even if they don't get how it applies to their daily life, there's something different. I don't know if you've noticed at the high school, like half of the high school is doing Kiddushin, half of the high school is doing Shabbos. The discussion that came out around this time last year, was around this time, maybe a little bit more toward Pesach, was what we were going to do this upcoming Zman. And some suggested we might as well do, they knew that Kiddushin was the next in the cycle. They said, let's do Shabbos to make it more applicable for the guys. So they'll feel like there's more of something that they know about, that they can get themselves into, something that's more shyest to what they're doing on an everyday basis. And I still remember one Rebbe saying, I don't know if he said this out loud to everybody, but he said to me, he said, it's a fundamental mistake if we think that learning Shabbos is going to help them in their everyday lives. Not every blot of Shabbos is going to apply with an everyday Shabbos activity. A lot of Shabbos has no shyness to an everyday activity. And the purpose of us learning Gemara in the morning is not to apply to their daily lives. That's what Halacha Seder is for. That's what Bein Hasharim is for. That's what Night Seder is for. To do something that will apply to your daily life. Morning Seder and Afternoon Seder are spent to surround you with Kedusha. To surround you with Gemara, to allow there to be a bit of Kedusha that should allow you to be brought up. It's difficult to see that, because in order to gain Kedusha, you have to work hard. You have to punch yourself in the face to do it sometimes. Tumah is easy, Tahara is difficult. It's difficult to become a Kadosh person. It's difficult to even see the Kedusha in things. I can easily tell you what Tumah is. It's not so easy for me to tell you what Tahara is. That I can definitely tell you. But it doesn't mean that we should give up on it. Learning Kiddushin is also applicable to our daily lives. That's the problem. That if you think that if I learn Hilchos Brachos, I'm going to gain. But if I learn Gemara Shabbos, the Tumah Tahara Gemara, I'm going to get nothing out of it. That's wrong. Absolutely wrong. But why is it wrong? It's because there is something there that we might not be getting. Subconsciously, sometimes even consciously, sometimes you can feel it. Sometimes you'll get a little bit of a feeling. The greatest chesed we can do for ourselves, for the world, literally for everybody here, for our generation, and for the kids, for the people that are going to be there in the next generation, is to be able to sit and learn on a more comprehensive level. To understand what we're learning and know what we're doing and not just daven it up like somebody who's reading Pesukei de Zimra. Not just say it in that way. 30 years ago, it was unrealistic to ask a tzibur to have a night seder. 30 years ago, it was unrealistic to ask. Nowadays, it's night seders in almost every shul. Almost every shul is a night seder of some sort. Something. And if not a night seder, they have a morning seder. Meaning right before davening starts. Something like that. There's one of the two. It's not an impossible task. And it's changing. It's going to be more. In some way, shape, or form. Who knows what's going to be. But there's going to be more and more. Either a night seder or a morning seder. Hopefully it will literally be in every shul. We'll have, if only, you could have a little cola in every single shul. And every single soul, that they'll always be there, always sitting there and learning around there. That's the way it is by us. We're always going to keep growing. We're always going to do more. You can either choose to be part of that, or you can choose to leave it on the side and not be part of it at all. And I'm asking, I'm telling you, it's time to be a part of that. Time to be a part of that. To add on, to make sure that you're part of this idea of Klal Yisrael. Rav Shach foresaw it. You could say it that way. It's almost like an Nebuah. Rav Shach saw this is the way to save Klal Yisrael by adding on a night seder in random tehillos in the middle of Chutz La'aretz. That's one way of doing it. For ourselves, this is not the Mishnah. And that would be Na'aseh ben Ishmael. You choose to make a decision for yourself of what you want to do and how to add on for yourself. Because, yeah, we all know this. Anybody who's here for both Siddurim a day, anybody who's here for both those Siddurim, you know, there is no way you're able to learn what you actually should be learning during this small amount of time that we have. It's not enough. You need more time. You need to learn Ben Hasarim. You need to learn extra. And even though that's hard, I know it's hard. I'm very tired from last night because I didn't get home till late and then I had more stuff to do. It's hard. It's hard to finish things up. Okay. I have a long shluch waiting for me when I die. It's a long shluch. And I'm sure it's going to be great, and I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep for a very long time. It should be after 170. Why not, right? It should be after 170 years, and everything should be okay. And I'm sure I'll take care of it then. I'm fine now. Fine now. I still haven't had a coffee or a Coke today. It's a little bit of water. You should be fine. You should be fine. But you have to do something else. It's got to be to add on a little bit more and to understand a little bit more. I hope you get the best basic message from all this. To be able to spend a little bit more time understanding what you're doing. A little bit more time adding to what you're doing. Little by little by little until you feel like you can't do anymore. And then add on a minute. Just 1 minute. And then you can stop. And then stop. And see what you can do. I'm guaranteeing success in this type of a dara. I'm guaranteeing it. But more than just a guarantee, you're going to see it. You're going to feel different when you start pushing yourself. Just do it. See what you can do. But there's no question. Talmud Torah Kenegan Kulam does not only mean that Talmud Torah is the same amount as other mitzvos. The school that you get by learning Torah can cause such differences in your life. Things will change when you allow it to be Talmud Torah Kenegan Kulam.